Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/NOTLP. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/NOTLP. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/NOTLP. And now the show.
How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, reform you.
Save him. I can help.
Talk's easy. Fighting's hard.
Is that impressive enough for you, my brother?
Tell the dead we're coming.
There are worse things than the dead.
Probably true.
You will fight much that is strange and powerful.
This is a bad idea.
This is the only idea.
Hurry!
You're all going to die. There's something dark and wrong about us.
God, do me.
You can feel it, can't you?
You're all going to die!
Shut up.
Promise me that we'll fix this world.
You can die with honor and join us in the afterlife.
There are things I must do in this world before I earn the right to leave it.
Then move your bones, old man. Wake up. You know, you curse a lot in your sleep.
If I could sleep, stop waking me.
Hey, welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. This is a little one-on-one action with me and Fozzie.
Hey.
So what we're talking about is two new series. One is The Deadlands, that's coming to Shudder June 8th. And the other one is Fozzie's Eyes on TV podcast, which the first episode is available now at Patreon. I'm sorry, yeah, patreon.com/NOTLP. So what do you think? And Brandon Boone wrote a nice intro for us, music.
I know, it's great. I told you it reminds me of Wings. Yeah. It like brings my blood pressure down like the Wings soundtrack.
Yeah, I was like, it's so soothing. It's kind of perfect for the kind of show you're doing.
It's perfect. I love it. Thank you so much.
So before we get into talking about the Deadlands, if anyone is listening who hasn't caught on that we're doing this spinoff TV show with Fozzie, describe what it is to everybody real quick.
Sure. It's the name of the show is Eyes on TV, and that's E period Y period E period S period. And it stands for everything you've ever seen on television. So I just want to have people on, and I want to have discussions about every single TV show you can think of, from WKRP to I Love Lucy to this show. Any show you want to talk about, I want to talk about it with you, even if I haven't seen it before. So if anybody wants to be a guest, just reach out. I'm happy to talk about your show.
Great. And if they want to reach you, what is Twitter the best way?
Yep, Fozzie Bear, F-O-Z-Z-I-E-B-A-R-E.
So, all right. So let's get into the Deadlands. This is,
I don't want to talk about that. No, it's great. It's great. Let's have a conversation. Let's see where we can get.
Yeah. A lot of times when we're sent like, hey, can you review this, that, or the other? I'd say 80% of the time we're just like, I don't know. That's a lot of time. But this show really had me intrigued. It's set in New Zealand, I guess in a mythical era, like before the European contact happened, when it's all the Maori people living there in their tribes. But there's also this whole supernatural element to it that makes it feel like maybe a time, you know, that didn't really exist. It's like a more of a high fantasy scenario.
Kind of like Game of Thrones. It's sort of our world, but it's sort of not. Maybe present day, but we just haven't advanced yet past yeah. that.
Yeah, this one, it reminds me a lot of the original Conan the Barbarian material in the first Schwarzenegger movie.
I can see it.
Where you have, you know, these tribes, and it's that kind of era where there's these little skirmishes all the time. The losers are usually enslaved or eaten.
Right.
And you have this man who of questionable character who, by the way, is, I think, like, perfectly cast.
He's wonderful. Yeah. I have nothing but great things to say about that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's awesome. And I, you know, I'll struggle with the names probably a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm pulling up the
Te Kohei Tahuka.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Thank you. That's what it says on IMDb.
Yeah.
And you know, his character is a noble, quote unquote, warrior. But he is one of the best warrior. That's why he's held in such high regard with every nation. Everybody knows him because he's like the best warrior, right? Kind of like Conan.
Kind of, but also I think the reason they know him is because everyone hates him.
Fair.
Yeah. So like it's amazing that the actor's name and the character's name are so similar.
Yeah.
Which one did you say, the character or the actor?
The actor, Kohei Tahuka.
Okay. He is just so damn good. And then he's this super arrogant, he's kind of an asshole. He dies, he's murdered, and he goes to the afterlife and they're like, sorry, we're full. And nobody can get in now, especially you, because everybody hates you. And he's sent back to Earth, where he thinks that maybe his key to turning this around and getting into the afterlife is finding honor.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been speaking to his ancestors in this place, very similar to what they did in Black Panther.
Right.
Where there's this nether realm where he can talk to his ancestors, get advice. But in this case, you don't know who's telling him the truth, if they're playing him, because these, even though they're dead, these characters he encounters in this nether realm are they have agendas still.
Right. Especially his mother.
Yeah. His mother. Does that remind you a little bit of like Tony Soprano's mother?
Oh, I can see it. I have no te hoke konawana.
Yeah, it's kind of got like you don't know if she's up to something nefarious or not.
Right.
But his family is dead. His tribe is dead. And some say it's because he abandoned them. And so he finds this younger woman hiding in a hole. Name is it Mehe?
Mehe.
Yeah, yeah. She is she's clearly in some sort of trouble, and she offers him this weapon as payment, which I had never seen those before. Had you?
The weapons are one of the major things I want to talk about, because I don't understand them. Is this a traditional? Because they kind of look like ping pong paddles, elongated ping pong paddles, and they're sort of like size. So in the show, they're not sharp, very sharp either. So there's a lot of just beating people to death with these weapons.
I assume it's a traditional. It must be based in the actual traditional weaponry, because I've seen pictures where they're similar looking weapons. It just never occurred to me that's what they were until I saw this.
Yeah, it's brutal too. It would be one thing if they were just size and you're slashing and hacking, but this, you got to beat a lot of people to death with it in the face.
Yeah,
it's really brutal because of that.
It's like killing someone with a spatula.
Yeah, exactly. It takes a while.
Yeah, so she offers him this green one. She says, "This is the pride of our tribe. It's our most treasured thing. If you'll help me," and you get a flashback that she brought this dead bird into her village, and is like, something's wrong. This bird, I don't know. Was it the bird also was like a zombie?
I think it was kind of moving, and it was bleeding from the eyes and the mouth too.
Yeah. So this was like, they're like, why'd you bring that here? One, that's like bad juju. And two,
like, she's like, you can't get diseases from birds, you idiot.
Like, so she's like, something big is happening. And you kind of get the impression that she has maybe some sort of power that they haven't addressed as well.
Yeah.
Like an intuition of some kind.
Yeah, you know, I don't ascribe to this language, but I couldn't help but thinking of a Mary Jane with her, the way people describe a Mary Jane, only because she is perfect at everything on this show so far that I've seen. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's like, she's just fucking awesome. She has skills, she's smart, she can fight. She is really one of the best characters. And if people are offended by that and they want to call her a negative name, fine. I think it's amazing. I love her.
I do too. I think the two of them together are like just perfect. The chemistry, just, you don't know what their relationship is, which is interesting. I think a lot of storytellers would just jump to it either being a romantic interest or like a father daughter situation. And this is still, they're letting them organically figure that out throughout the series.
Right.
Which I think is really smart and like a mature way to tell a story. It also, it kind of throws things like in that whole gender expectations. And like, I mean, they still have like women are maybe witches in this world and men are warriors, but, but at the same time, like she's a badass all her own.
Yeah, and I don't think that she knows she's a badass, which is, she's figuring this out as she goes along. She's never really had the opportunity to be a badass, and now she's just stepping up, which is right. Fun to watch.
So, Wakanuka Rau, I think
that's the character, yeah.
He's, the way he thinks he's going to get his honor, he decides, is to help her figure out who broke the world, is the way they keep saying it, where the dead can't die now. Where
right.
they don't move on and they become, I think a couple times they refer to them as a new tribe.
Yeah, and I think the way I interpret it, it's not that they can't die. They do die, but then their souls can't get into the afterlife. Their ancestors right. aren't allowing them in to the afterlife. So then they're just pushed back to their bodies and they rise again.
And the only way to stop them from moving around is to cut their heads off.
Yeah, traditional. Or does slashing their throat work? I was a little confused by that.
Yeah, they don't, and that's the kind of the thing I like about it too, is they don't spoon feed you like how the science of what
yeah.
is happening at all. It's just basically he knows that every time he's cut something's head off, it stopped coming after him.
Okay.
And that was enough. You know
what yeah. I mean?
And like you said, it's this real brutal, like multiple like whacks with that ping pong paddle looking
yeah.
And so it makes it even more like just gruesome. So something else I love about Maori culture and also like Polynesian, but even more so with the Maori, that there's these faces that they make like to intimidate,
mm-hmm.
which are comical, but also just kind of amazing. Like it's so specific to that culture.
Big wild eyes, the tongue sticking out, screaming.
And the closest thing in Western culture is the old Budweiser commercial where they're like, weather!
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to laugh every time Waka, is that his name? Yeah, Waka.
Yeah.
Every time Waka did it, but he pulls it off. This actor right. pulls it off, and you see that's his thing.
Yeah, and you'll see like every character who is a fighter or who ends up in a combat situation, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Which
it's kind of like yeah. when you're at a bar and you want to really freak somebody out. So you smash a bottle over your head and then scream and try to look wild eyed.
Yeah.
That's what they do in every battle.
Yeah, and I think that's, I don't know a whole lot about this culturally, so I apologize if I get
that. Oh, sure.
But I think that might be like kind of part of where the tiki totem faces came from, like why they are making those expressions. It's like, it's supposed to be that same kind of intimidation thing.
Right.
So this storyline unfolds and it gets, they realize it's a bigger thing than just that that the afterlife is closed off.
Mm-hmm.
That there are people who may have deliberately made this happen.
Right.
So now they're trying to figure out why, who did it and why.
Yeah.
And fix it.
And there are people who are, for lack of a better word, capitalizing on it, using it as an excuse for their own power grabs and their and murdering their own people and twisting it to their own beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I've gotten as far as episode 5.
I've only gotten into 3, or I'm almost done with 3 now.
Yeah. My intention was, I was like, at least I'll watch the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to get a taste of it, but I couldn't, I was like, you know, I really kind of want to know what the next little thing that happens is. And the stylistically, this show is, it's filmed in New Zealand. It's those same locales that everybody loves from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. And when there's night scenes, they'll show these great shots of the sky like you don't see anywhere else in the world, you know.
Yeah.
And it's moving across the hemisphere. It's just, it's got an awesome look, and the cast is just so good in this that it's not currently like one of those shows where like, oh my God, it's not like, oh, this is a must see for me 100%. But at the same time, like if you are a fan for certain audiences, it is.
100%. It's not the kind of show I would seek out, but since I had to watch it, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed what I watched.
Yeah. So like, if you're a fan of Conan the Barbarian, the original, mm-hmm. the movie.
Sword and Sandals, that's your bag.
Yeah, if you like, yeah, exactly, Sword and Sandal epics, that sort of thing. Or if you're a fan of the Hellboy comics or Spawn even, there's some elements in there from that. It's also got a little bit of Evil Dead flavor to it.
Sure.
There's humor,
mm-hmm.
but it fits the characters. Nothing's forced ever in this show. Everything happens very organically throughout. They have a way of sprinkling in and adding new characters along the way that make it interesting in a way a lot of shows like this never bother to do. They would just be like, it's enough to have this Maori warrior fighting zombies. But this show lets things get a little more complicated than that. And did you get to the exorcism episode?
No, I think I'm coming up on it because they're trying to find the kid that's possessed.
Okay, so that's a great episode. I think that's the one where I was like, okay, I think I'm hooked in. It's just really fun. It's a fun show with a whole lot of style and a whole lot of, it actually has like a whole lot of heart, and I'm interested to see if they can maintain that. It's an 8-episode run for the first season, and I don't know if they're making another or not, but if they can maintain that throughout and give these two main characters satisfying resolutions to their stories, like this could be one of the better like fantasy shows we've had as far as like high fantasy.
It's a strange fit for Shudder, I thought, because it's not typical jump out and scare you. There's not a lot of scares. Sure, it's about the dead walking again, but it's not scary. Were you scared at any point? I wouldn't even define it really as horror, more fantasy.
Well, you know, we always have this argument about how do you define the horror genre.
Yeah.
The thing that makes this a horror show is just the fact that you're dealing with the undead.
Right.
It's not horror in the sense of the storytelling is about scaring the audience. It's horror and that has the trappings of horror, like so. And that for me is always like that fits into the big tent of the horror genre, and that's why I always feel, and I like that the curators of Shudder also apparently feel this way, that you have to go big tent if you are curating content over a long period of time, just because you're gonna get bored.
That's a good point.
So you have to spread it out and be like, hey, you know what, you know, and their dark fantasy is kind of like part of the big tent of horror for me. I know there are purists out there that are just solely into, if they're like, if it's a movie that upsets me, It has to truly upset me and get under my skin for it to be horror. That's so subjective that that's beyond like a genre defining aspect for me.
Yeah. I just want people to know, don't go into this expecting it to be scare me horror. Right. I don't think you're going to be scared. I don't think there's any jump scares even really that are going to get you, but it's fun in the, under the big tent of horror.
It's scary in the way that Army of Darkness is scary. If you think that's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, most people probably wouldn't think Army of Darkness is actually a scary film, but it's under that big tent of horror because of all of the Evil Dead demons and stuff.
Yeah.
And this is that same kind of thing. But yeah, it's a great time. I highly recommend it. It starts June 8th, which is 2 weeks from now. And I think what Shudder does, like most of the streaming services, where they dump an entire series at once so you can binge it.
And we all got nothing but time, guys. It's a fun distraction for 8 hours.
Yes. And again, like the charisma of these main cast members and I think it's his uncle that comes along in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know who I'm talking about. He's kind of like the crinkle eyed. You kind of like him. You think you trust him more than you do the mom.
Wasn't he the one at the very, in the very first episode that kind of explained things?
Yes, he's the first one. And, he hates his uncle, too, apparently, because he's always trying to attack him.
Yeah, he seems to hate his whole family, but he still talks to him.
But I love that character. I just like his personality. It's a lot of fun. The mom is a great performance, too, where she's just delivering this kind of subtle, you don't know if you should trust her or not thing. And you get in later to the story, there's the three witches that turn up, and that's just an awesome set of characters. And the way these characters interact and blend together into, you know, whatever their common goal is really neat.
Yeah, it's very Beastmaster. That's the vibe that I got watching it, like a modern day Beastmaster.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's fun. And the chemistry between the two leads, Waka and Mehe, she doesn't take any shit, and he doesn't either from her. I really like the relationship, and I love, like you said, that it's not an automatic romantic relationship between these two.
Yeah.
It's just respect.
Right. And the writers, I feel like they didn't take any easy ways out. They were like, what's the most interesting way?
Yeah. For this, and I love that.
Unfold? And that's cool. And they learn from each other. It's one of those great symbiotic, you know, relationships where, Waka is not really an honest with himself. Even it's that classic like 12-step program kind of thing. And his journey is maybe, you know, reconciling with that and getting to know who he really is.
And her entire story is driven by her family and her love of her family and respect. And he wants nothing to do with his family. And like it's him trying to find a good balance between the two, and her trying to like kind of maybe pull away from her family a little bit and not let them control her as much.
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that, but yeah, they are almost opposites in that respect.
Yeah.
So cool. Anyway,
that's good. It's a good show. I recommend
The Deadlands. 8 episodes coming to Shudder June 8th. That's a Monday, I think. And also there was a movie that the same writer wrote with the same title. So if you're out looking for anything, years ago, he made this, which I don't know that the film had like supernatural elements in it, but it was the same like era. I think the film might have been more based in the reality of the Maori tribes and in the fighting and everything. I heard it's fantastic. It's a different director than works on the series, but the same writer. And I don't know that there's any story connection. They just happen to have the same title. So,
oh, interesting.
And similar artwork.
And some of the same cast I see as well.
Yeah, he's in that too. The main.
Okay.
So I like him enough that I'll probably seek that movie out, because I think he is, this guy should be a superstar in no time, I think.
He's charming as shit. Love this guy.
Yes, absolutely. So that's all I have to say about that. What about you?
Yep, I'm good. Just watch it. You'll have fun.
All right. And the first episode of Eyes on TV is at patreon.com/NOTLP.
Files about Murder, She Wrote.
Yes. Yep. And I think people are going to enjoy the shit out of it, because people love TV.
Exactly. It's all I ever want to talk about. So come talk about it with me.
All right, cool. Thank you for doing this, Fozzie. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to
of London on four legs, while high above him, Ellen Ripley finds some funny eggs, and Freddy laughs at Nancy in her nightmares as she begs to have just one more moment with her friends.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.